Okay, good morning. This week we are learning Brachos Daf Mem Beis. This week is sponsored by David and Paula Baumzer and Elmo Construction and by Bagel Munch. And we are going to be talking about one of the big topics that's going to come up today right away from the start on the top of the Amud is the concept of Pas Haba B'Kisnin. So let's jump, it came up a bit last week, but this week is the bulk of it. So let's jump right in. The fourth word on the top line, Rav Huna achal tlesar rifti bnei tlasa tlasa bekaba. So Rav Huna ate 13, rifti means loaves, but Rashi points out we're talking about pas haba bekisnim, where we'll discuss the definition of that in a second, but it's basically, it's not bread, it's more of a snack type bread-like food, and he ate a lot of it. He ate bnei tlasa tlasa bekaba, every three loaves made up a kav, which was a lot of loaves, a lot of cake. Velo barich, and he didn't make a bracha. Rashi explains he didn't make a bracha achrona. Maybe he didn't do anything. Rinuno says maybe he made a berei nefashos or achat mein shalosh, but he didn't make a full bracha achrona. And Amalei Rav Nachman ade kifna. Rav Nachman asked, how come you didn't make a bracha achrona? Didn't you eat this for satiation because you were hungry? This is a meal. Ela kol she'acherim kovim olav seuda tzarech levarich. As long as other people are koveya seuda on that amount of pas haba b'kisnin, you must make a bracha achrona. You must bench perhaps on that much pas haba b'kisnin. Rav Yehuda hava asik lei librei be Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. Rav Yehuda was making a wedding for his son, and the mechutan was Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. One of the achronim in the Yalkut in the back points out that we see Rav Yehuda was marrying off his son to another Rav Yehuda. Some people are makbid not to have the same name as your mechutan or the same name at the chassan and the father-in-law, and there are places over here and in Yevamos and throughout Shas that show that people were not makbid for that necessarily. It comes up in the Tzavas Yehuda Achasid, but it's not necessarily such a strict concrete halacha. So Rav Yehuda was marrying off his son to the house of Yehuda bar Chaviva, and at the wedding, Aisul Kamayu pas haba b'kisnin. They brought pas haba b'kisnin to everybody, and ki asa sham inu de kamivarchi hamotzi. Here, people were making a hamotzi on the pas haba b'kisnin. It was like a cake. Amar lehum, my tzitzi de kashamana. Why am I hearing people say a lashon of tza? Like it sounds like you're making a hamotzi. Dilma hamotzi lachmena aretz kamivarchisu. Am I hearing someone make a hamotzi bracha on this pas haba b'kisnin, this cake? I'm relay in. Yes, I am. De Tanya. Rabbi Muna Almer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Pas Haba B'Kisnin Mevarchen Alav Hamotzi. As Rabbi Muna says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you make a Hamotzi on Pas Haba B'Kisnin. Ba'amar Shmuel Halacha K'Rabbi Muna. And Shmuel says you pass on like Rabbi Muna, but you make a Hamotzi on Pas Haba B'Kisnin. So that's what they were making a hamotzi on these cake type snack type foods. Amalahu ain't halacha k'Rav Mona yitmar. No, you misheard. He didn't say the halacha is like Rav Mona. He said the halacha is not like Rav Mona. So what do we? So what is the maskana in the end? Amalahu ain't amri lei v'ha marhu da amar mishmei de Shmuel lachmanios ma'arvin bahen umavarchen alei on hamotzi. Yeah, but Shmuel says that these lachmanios, these also these cake like foods can be used for your erev chatzeros, erev techumim, which you need bread for, and you make a hamotzi on those loaves. So what is it? Is it a hamotzi or is it a mezonos? The Mara concludes, Shiny Hasam de Kava Seuda Se Alayhu. If you are Kovea Seuda, then you're gonna make a hamotzi and you're gonna bench on the Pasaba Bekisnin. Avalhecha de lo kava seuda se alayhu lo. But if you are not Kovea Seuda, you are not going to make a hamotzi and you're not going to bench on Pasaba Bekisnin. Full stop. So our Gemara says Pasaba Bekisnin, you're gonna usually make a, if you're gonna have it not in Kvia Suda, not like in a real meal type setting, you make a mazonos, and you'll make a ala mechia. But if you're koveya seuda, then you're going to make a hamotzi, and you're going to wash and bench on pas haba b'kisnin. So we're going to define that in a second, but a couple of other rules behind this pas haba b'kisnin. Number one, this amount of being koveya seuda. We said if you're koveya seuda, you're going to have to wash and bench on these cakes, let's call it right now. So is that subjective? Is that based on, well, I'm koveya seuda, even though most people wouldn't be, but I'm fine, I eat a little, I'm fine with that, so is that kviya seuda for me? Or if most people would, but I'm personally, I have to eat so much more to be a kviya seuda, so for me to eat a lot is still considered a snack. So does it go based on my personal preference? So the Rush goes to Ravid who says yes, but the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, no. It goes by the average people for your age group. For the Bir Halacha explains that maybe it changes based on if you're the elderly versus someone who's younger, that amount of what's considered kviya seuda can be subjective in terms of your age group or maybe your gender. Men and women have different habits is for what's considered kviyas seuda, but it doesn't go based on your personal preference. It goes based on what general category of people you fit into. Exactly. It goes based on other people. But that definition of other is going to can vary based on if you're a 5-year-old versus if you're a 30-year-old or if you're an 80-year-old, what exactly is considered those other people. But yes, exactly. And so this amount of being koveya seuda, so some try to give a number to it and say 4 kibetza. If you have 4 kibetza of these cake type foods, that's considered koveya seuda. It's hard to be magdir exactly what it should be, but generally speaking, I think we assume it's based on what do people have when they have a meal of that type of food. It isn't necessarily a certain amount for everything, but it could just generally speaking, so that's where it comes up. For example, we'll get into pizza. So pizza, some say, 1 is a snack, 2 is a meal. So you kind of try to figure out for that particular thing, how much is considered kviyas seuda. There's going to be a particular quantity, but it just may go based on what's the culture for how much people would have in order to make a kviyas seuda. The other big question is, fine, if you have to calculate a certain amount of food becomes koveya seuda, do you only count the pasaba bekisnin foods that you're eating? Let's say I'm eating cake and cookies, and I'm also eating, let's say, pizza, I'm also eating fries, I'm also eating salad. Do those other foods also combine into the shiur for the calculation for having koveya seuda? So Mishnah Berurah says yes, Ashkenazim would assume yes, and so if you're going to go to the Aruch HaShulchan as like a very harif, he says that people who go to their kiddushes and their smorgasbords, and they have some pasta bavakistan, and they have some rugelach, and they have some kugel, and some cholent, and some salad, and some pasta, and they're not washing. He says, like, Hashem should have rachmanis on these people. Hashem should hurachum yechaper avoni, should give them forgiveness for their sins. He's very much against that, because he assumes this idea that the other foods also become part of that calculation. Don't go quoting me on that Aruch HaShulchan. But Sfardim, I think, are not makbid for that. Sfardim would say it goes based on the pasta bavakistan itself. That's a Ravajah's shita, that it goes, you just calculate the pasul bekistin foods itself when trying to calculate that koveya seuda. Okay, so what exactly is pasul bekistin? So Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kuf Samaches quotes 3 different opinions as to what pasul bekistin is, quoting 3 different opinions in the Rishonim and the Gaonim. The Rashba says, and each of these are going to have practical applications as well. The Rashba says that it's like a pocket of dough that has ingredients inside of it, like sweet ingredients like honey or tavlin or spices and other things like that. Good question. Maybe it's like jelly. I'm not sure if the dough of the donut is different based on how it's fried and cooked, things like that. But like apple pie, I think, is like a typical example also, like a thing that has like ingredients that are stuffed inside of it. But the pocket is not necessarily so li'ikuva. So I think some people try to stick pizza into maybe that category because it has these other ingredients on top of and around the dough. But that's category number one. It's like a pocket.
Like a
filled. Right, like a calzone also. Barica, I think that's a good example also. Number 2 is the Rambam. The Rambam says that as long as you have the dough, wasn't just regular dough that was just used with water, but you also used other ingredients in there as well. So you put other sweet things in there like honey and sugar and juice. That's going to be in by Mizonos. So we'll talk about that also. Other juice, fruit juices in there. So that would, you take the dough and you put other ingredients inside and then you knead it and you bake it. So that would be a pasul bekistin according to the Rambam. That's number 2. And then number 3 is like a cracker, like a brittle, something that's crunchy like that, like crackers, or maybe even like matzahs seem to fit that category also. That's category number 3. Number 1, yeah, so we'll talk about that also. So number 1, that is the Rav Haigon, that's the Gaonim. So, so 3 categories. Number 1 is the pocket filled with other ingredients. Number 2 is that the dough was mixed with other ingredients, and then you made it into bread, into the cake thing. And number 3 is like the brittle cracker. So a very fundamental machlokas over here is we have 3 examples. So how concrete are these examples? Are these actually definitional? As long as I have a food that meets category number 1 or number 2 or number 3, that's definitely going to be pasul bekistin. I'm going to make a mizonos unless I'm koveya seuda. Or do we say these are just like broad guides to just kind of guide us towards the ultimate conclusion that snack type foods are pasul bekistin? These are just examples. But if I have a food that meets category number 3, but it's so obviously a meal type food, then maybe I don't care if it meets category number 3. So for example, to kind of bring this home, is matzah. So matzah fits exactly criteria number 3. It's a brittle, it's like a cracker, and so the Rav Avadia says for Sfardim and Yechavadas that they make a mizonos. He says, fine, on Pesach they'll make a hamotzi because halacha is kobaya this as a meal type food, but throughout the year, Sfardim make a mizonos on on our matzahs. The Ashkenazi poskim say, wait a second, fine, it happens to meat. You check off the box number 3 in the Shulchan Aruch, but at the end of the day, look at this food. This food is so clearly a meal-type food. You spread your cream cheese on this and have it as your breakfast, lunch, and dinner throughout Pesach, even during the year. If you run out of challahs, you'll go to your matzah and you'll have your cream cheese also during the week. It's so clearly a meal-type food. So Ashkenazim, even though it happens to meet criteria number 3, that still doesn't mean that it's definitely going to be Passover, because you have to just ask yourself, is this a meal-type food or is it a snack-type food? So that fundamental difference in whether these are definitional things or they're actually, or they're just trying to guide us, but you always ask yourself, is it a Passover vacation or is it not, is brought up by the Bir Halacha as Machlokas between Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Maimar Mordechai. And the Maimar Mordechai is one who says that it really is, you have to always ask yourself, is this a snack-type food or is it not? You can't just go checking off a box in the Shulchan Aruch and say, oh, it's clearly, it meets number 3, so it's going to be Mizonos. You have to ask yourself, is this a meal-type food or is it not a meal-type food? So let's go through some of these examples, some of the practical examples. So let's talk about pizza. Pizza perhaps meets category number 1, that it has like other ingredients that are like in the pocket or are around the dough. So does that make our pizza into a pasaba bekisnin? So one important factor is that the Magen Avraham points out, the Shulchan Aruch later gives a very similar example, but it's not like oil and honey and sweet things inside, it's meat inside. Mm-hmm. And there the Shulchan Aruch says that is not pasaba bekisnin, that's regular bread. You're going to have to make a hamotzi on when there's meat inside. So the Magen Avraham is mechalik when you have sweet things in mixed in with the, not mixed in the dough, but like around the dough, that's going to be mizonos. But if you're going to put in savory meal type things like cheese, Magen Avraham says, meat or cheese, not at the same time, things like that around the dough, so that's going to maintain the bread status. So according to Magen Avraham, there's no conversation. It's definitely going to be regular bread. It's not going to even be pasaba bekisnin. But if you don't even hold of that, if you want to say that it is a pasaba bekisnin, you have to ask yourself, if I agree it is pasaba bekisnin, so still there's a difference. If you have it as a snack, it's mizonos. As a meal, it's a hamotzi. So what are you having it as? So if, apparently, I don't know of the history of pizza, but apparently that originally when pizza was introduced in the U.S., it was more like you walk around the street and you're holding a slice of pizza. Now it's like the event has pizza as lunch. It's become the meal, and that's important culturally. What exactly is it? So they quote in Rav Moshe, I don't think it's in his chuvos, I couldn't find it, but I think it's quoted as a tradition that Rav Moshe says that one slice is a snack and 2 is a meal. And so that's why some people say mizonos on 1 and hamotzi on 2. But really it comes down to, is it your meal or not? So if you go out to the pizza store and your whole family's there and you get one slice, but then you get fries and you get a salad and you get other things, if that's your lunch, it should probably be a hamotzi. And Rav Schechter and Rav Willig and Rav Belsky and the OU poskim say that it should be a hamotzi, just always, definitionally. And it doesn't necessarily meet that pasaba bekisnin category. Did you have a...
Is that also the case of the... a lot of these foods now are used either as a snack or as a meal.
Right, yeah. So I think it's definitely going to go by your personal...
Flour, corn.
Right, well, okay, right.
Right, but yeah.
Like a whole wheat one.
If people would use that for a meal, then it's going to... and you're using it as a meal. If you're Koveya Sa'uda, then it would probably meet that... it would meet that category, perhaps. But it depends on how it's made and how it's cooked and things like that. Category number 2. So again, number 2 is when we said that you have other sweet things mixed into the dough, and then it's going to be considered a mizonos as opposed to being a bread. So you have like honey and things mixed in. So that comes up by sweet challahs. So I don't know if anyone has ever had sfardim over on Shabbos for a meal, but if you pull out your challahs that are mixed with honey and you have like a crumb topping and all this like fancy and like chocolate and stuff, so they may not make a mahamoti on that. They may not be so... Sometimes they'll bring their own water challah with them. If they don't, then maybe it's a good chimera to buy water challah for your Sephardi guest if you want to look out for them. Rav Avi Yosef says that they cannot make a hamotzi on that because for them, that's considered a pasaba bekisnin. Because in this category, the Rambam says as long as you can taste the non-water ingredients that are in the dough, that's going to be a pasaba bekisnin. It's going to be mizonos unless you're going to be koveya se'uda. So Sephardim are very machbid on that. The Rambam over there says, no, it has to be like a main ingredient. So maybe at a certain point, I think it's very possible that when there's so much stuff baked in and it really feels like cake, then maybe there is a real shaila, even for Ashkenazim, about making a hamotzi on the sweet challahs. But generally speaking, there's like an egg challah, or it's like challah that has some crumb topping on top. Sfardim are very machmir, as long as you can taste that there's something in there. But Ashkenazim are more makel on where that line is, and you'll still be able to make a hamotzi on those sweet challahs. But mizonos rules is the big hack about this. That's the hot topic over here within this category. Because for mizonos rules, what do? They mix in in fruit juices into the dough. And so now they say, ah, look, Shulchan Aruch says, category number two, if you mix other juices into the dough, that's a basa baba kisnin. And so great, I'll make a mazonos on this roll because I mixed in the fruit juices. So there are a lot of different tainas people have against mazonos rules, but the one argument for, right, so we just said that there's fruit juice inside, but yeah, but I can't taste the fruit juice. If I can't taste the fruit juice, does that make a difference? So the Maharsham says, as long as you have majority fruit juice, even if you can't taste it, you're going to make a mazonos. And so that's what they tack the sheet of mazonos on these rolls on, is that the Maharsham says, I don't have to taste it. As long as the fruit juice is the majority inside that dough, I can consider it a possible bakistin, and therefore, if you're having it as a snack, you're going to be able to make a mazonos. Here's the list of things against mazonos. So my, there were very forced title for his topic in his Sefer on Brachos about this is the fallacy of mazonos rules. How it's like it's a stira to even call something a mazonos rule. So what are the reasons against it? So number one is we said the Maharsham says you don't have to taste it. Mishnah Brura, however, who we perhaps Paskin like, says that you do have to taste the fruit juice. And these mazonos rules, they look like bread and they taste like bread. You can't even taste the fruit juice inside of it, at least significantly, and so perhaps we can't even rely on that. But even if I'll give it to you, and even if, fine, there's fruit juice, and therefore it is a pasaba bakisnin, but still, you're being koveya seuda. You're putting your butter on the mazonos roll, and you're just, as another reason people are against it, is because you're just trying to get out of washing. You're trying to get out of that. People have one of the greatest fears in Judaism are becoming fleishik too early and having to wash and bench. People don't want to bench, and so they'll have these mazonos rolls to get out of the problem. That's a bisui to the mitzvah, birkas hamazon. So that's just like a muster reason why people are against it. But halachically, number one, maybe you have to taste the fruit juice, and here you can't taste it. Number two, in the end of the day, you're being koveya seuda. It's your main meal. And also, you also have to count the other things you're eating with it. The other foods that you're eating with the mazonos roll also are going to count towards that calculation. And then finally, as we said, even if you can check off the box in Shulchan Aruch that says it meets category number two, it meets all the criteria that Shulchan Aruch defines for pasav abakistin, but maybe those are not definitional. Maybe you have to still ask yourself in the end of the day, is this a meal type food or is it a snack type food? And if it's a meal type food, it's going to definitely be a hamotzi and not even be a pasav abakistin in the first place. So there are some, I think that the Israeli poskim are there are some that do allow making a mazonos, and they are pro that. I think it's going to come down to culture and to the context. And in the end of the day, if it's for your meal, then it's going to be a hamotzi. Even if I agree it's pasav abakistin, if it's your meal, it's going to be a hamotzi, which is true for pizza as well. But if it really is a snack somehow, then you can have room within those shitos that it's a pasav abakistin, that you would not have to make a hamotzi on that. Okay, so that was a lot, but that's all the hot topics that I could think of pasav abakistin. There's a lot of things to look into. I'm not sure, I don't want to pass him. I asked Rabbi Glasser like a second ago on like a couple of these things. He said that he thinks on pizza, if it's your meal, you should, even one slice, if it's your meal, that you should wash. But Zonos also is like, yeah, it's a big question. He wasn't so comfy saying it to Zonos, but... Anyway, yeah, go ask your local Orthodox Rabbi Glasser. Okay, so moving on. So we are in the middle of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. The last two words on the line are Rav Papa. Rav Papa ikla lebe Rav Huna breder Rav Nasana basar de gamar seudasayhu aisu lekamayhu midi lemechal. So now we're going to talk about at what point is your meal considered finished to the point where you aren't allowed to eat anymore until you bench and complete that meal. So for example, Abaye was by Rav Huna's house, and after the meal was over, they brought more food. And Shakal Rav Papa the Ka'achil, and he ate from that food. Amrile lo savar lamar gamar asur milechol. They asked him, hey, don't you hold that once you finish the meal, you aren't allowed to continue eating? How could you eat more food after the meal's clearly over? Amrilehu salak etmar. No, that's only if they've removed the food and the bread and all the other things from the table. As long as they haven't removed things from the table, you're still allowed to eat more food. It's still part of the same washing that you had before. You can still eat more foods and you don't have to bench right away. Rava Rabzera, Iklu Lebe Resh Galusa. Rava and Rabzera were by the Resh Galusa's house, and the Vaiton was of a particular stature, and the Basar Tisliku Tacha Mikamayu, when they removed the table and the tray from in front of them, Shadru Lehu Ristina Mibe Resh Galusa. They brought out to them Ristina, right? Some more food. They brought out more food for them after they had already removed the tables from in front of them. So Rava achil, Rav Zera lo achil. Rava ate more food, Rav Zera did not. Amar le lo safar lamar salak asim ilechol. He asked Rava, how could you eat more food? Don't you hold that once the food has been removed from the table, the meal's over, you got a bench, you can't eat anymore. Amar le anan atacha deresh galusa samchinan. We rely on the table of the resh galusa. There's this person over here who is very, who is of particular significant stature, and we go based on their meal. So even though we thought that the meal was over, we always knew in the back of our minds that we're at his table, and when he says the meal is over, the meal is over. If he brings out more food, then we're going to eat more food. It's not considered siluk that your meal has completed and is finished if you're the guest at someone's house and you're relying on them and you're going based on whether they say the meal is over or not.
So it's like having the main course, everything gets cleaned away and then serving dessert.
Right, exactly. That's kind of like what they did, but they didn't necessarily know in advance that more was coming. If you know more is coming, then that's one thing. But here they didn't know, but they knew that they were at the Resh Galusa's house, and it goes based on his order. If he's going to have dessert, then that was always considered to be in the back of my mind. Puss over here.
Would they think that if they say, like, you have to bet, would they just make another bracha on that food?
Right. Yeah, so I think that Rashi's implication is that you'd have to bench and then have more food. There's a certain, we'll talk about it, like my machronim is what people are mocked for. But if you start maybe shirim alo, so you're clearly about to bench, to then have another food is problematic, and you should really finish your meal before having something else. We'll get to that. This part isn't necessarily so halacha when I say, yeah, we'll get to it in a bit. But on this topic of that we rely on the table of Resh Galusa, so Tosos points out a topic that's really, you know, Hilchos Pesach, really not super in Yana Deyoma, but about on Hilchos Pesach, about someone who forgot to eat Afikomen. And they finished their Shulchan Aruch, and they say, let's go bench. They're about to start benching. They've mentally finished their meal, and they say, oh my gosh, we forgot to eat the Afikomen. So do they have to bench and then wash again? But that's after they bench, can they have more food? So Tosos says, just like the Gemara said, that when you're at the Resh Galusa's house, you rely on the Resh Galusa's meal rules, so too, when you're at the Seder, you're at Hashem's table, and you go based on Hashem's rules. In the back of your mind, you always realize that if Hashem wanted you to have Afikomen, you'd be able to have more Afikomen. That's a very interesting application of that. But so let's keep on going. So from the two dots, Amar Rav, Haragil b'shemen, shemen ma'akvo. If you typically use oil to wash your hands, to anoint your hands after your meal, then shemen ma'akvo, then that's going to be the deciding factor for the definition of the end of your meal. As long as you brought out the oil, then your meal's over. If you have not, then you can continue to eat based off that original washing you had done before. Amar Ravashi, ki avinan be'rav kahana, Amar lan kegon ana dirgilinan b'mishcha, mishcha ma'akvolan. Right? He said, just like us, we usually have oil at the end of the meal, and therefore, if you haven't brought out the oil yet, the meal isn't over, and you can keep eating more food. We don't paskin like any of that. There are three things that are tekef, that are immediate, one followed by the other. Number one, tekef l'smicha shchita. When you're going to be doing shchita on an animal, to slaughter an animal, they would first do smicha, they would rest their hands on the head of the animal, and then they would do shchita. It has to be immediate. Tekef l'smicha, immediately after you lean your hands on the animal, shchita, you have to do the shchita on the animal. That's number one. Number two, tekef l'geula tfila, as we had earlier in Masechta and Daf Dalet, about having somech geula l'tfila, immediately after geula, you have to start after Gal Yisrael, you have to start your Shmoneh Esrei. And tekef l'netilas yadayim bracha. Immediately after netilas yadayim, Rashi points out mayim achronim, the end of your meal, after the washing of your hands from mayim achronim, when your meal is over, bracha. You have to bench right away. You can't go bringing out more food after your meal has been finished, and that's signified by mayim achronim. If you don't have mayim achronim, then whatever signifies the end of your meal, you should be benching right away. You shouldn't be like determined to bench. It's not over here. I think it's in Psachim. It talks about if you say havlan v'nivrich. If you say that we're benching now, so that's also perhaps a definition of about the meal being finished and going to bench right away, as opposed to having other foods or having other things as a hefsek in between. But yeah, I think people who wash my machronim, clearly I do not, people who do wash my machronim, I'm pretty sure that they are careful not to talk between my machronim and their benching. As it says, tekef l'ntil sedayim bracha. Amar Abaye, af anu ne'emar, tekef l'tamid chachamim bracha. Abaye says, I'll add on one more takeif, that immediately once you're around Talmidei Chachamim, you make a, bracha, but there is bracha. You will feel bracha, you will experience bracha after being around Gedolim. And he brings two proofs, both from Sefer Bereishis, so things that we are familiar with. Shenemar, Vayivarchani Hashem Piglalecha, that Laban says, as Yaakov wants to leave, Laban says, I've experienced so much bracha from you being around. Rashi over there points out, it's referring to Laban having sons. That Laban only had daughters, which is why he sent out Rachel to get the water, but now, after Yaakov came, Lavan had sons, and that was the bracha. The Marasha says probably it's just the fact that he had more cattle and more success in his possessions and things in his field and stuff like that. That's the bracha that they experienced immediately once Yaakov came. And Ibayis Ema Meahacha Shenemar by Varach Hashem as Beis Hametzri Beglal Yosef. That's by Potiphar, who said that once Yosef came, he immediately felt bracha in his storage houses as a result of having a chacham a gadol around him. So that is the discussion of Tasu Abakistna, number one. And number two, what's considered the end of your meal, that now you aren't supposed to eat any food and you should be benching right away. Mishnah. Birech al hayayin shalafnei hamazon, patar es hayayin shalachar hamazon. So Rashi explains what exactly was the order of the courses of their meal. They would have wine in the beginning of the meal. That's their appetizer wine, let's call it. They'd also have a parperes, we're going to have that lashon in a second in the Mishnah, which is another type of food. Rashi says maybe it's like fish or chicken or other like food, just like regular foods. So they'd have wine and some sort of food in the beginning of the meal as an appetizer course. Then they'd have the mazon, that's like the main course itself. And then they'd have another wine and parperes course, like a dessert wine and some dessert type of parperes at the end of the meal also. So they have wine beforehand, the regular meal, and then they have wine after. So the Mishnah says, if you make a bracha on the wine from before the meal, that's going to exempt, that bracha is going to count for the wine that comes after the meal. Right after the meal, you still didn't bench yet. So before benching, you're going to have wine, appetizer wine, you're going to have dessert wine. So the bracha on the appetizer wine is going to count for the dessert wine as well before you bench. And birech ala parperes shalafnei hamazon, patras ha parperes shalachar hamazon. So that food you're going to have in the appetizer course, you're going to make a bracha on that. That bracha is also going to count for the food that you have later on as well, towards right after the main course. It's a while later, but that bracha is still going to count for both. Birech al hapas, patras ha parperes. Right, we know if you make a bracha on bread, that's going to exempt the other foods. You're not going to need to make a bracha on those other foods. But ala parperes, lo patar es ha pas. A bracha on those other foods, whether it's the fish or chicken, or if it's other, even like mazonos type things, that's not going to exempt the bread, which you have to wash on. And Beis Shammai Omrim, af lo maisa kedera. The Beis Shammai says that even this is also not going to count as a bracha on the other cooked food, the other cooked dish that you have at your table as well. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what Beis Shammai means. Over here, very interesting halacha. The Mishnah continues, Hayu yoshvin kol echad mevarech la'atzmo, but hesebu echad mevarech lekulan. If everyone is just sitting together casually, then everyone's going to make the bracha on their own. But if hesebu, if they're leaning together, then one person can make the bracha for everybody else. That you need a heseba to be, in order to be motzi other people. So this comes up a lot when we're making brachos to be motzi other people. This is like the argument for why maybe one should sit down for Kiddush and for Havdalah. When you're going to be making a Hagafen, you have one guy making a Hagafen, and everyone else is going to be yotze with that person. So our Mishnah seems to say that you need to have a certain level of kviyas in order to be motzi somebody else. So our Mishnah says you have to lean together, but Tosfos points out that we don't lean ever anymore. And so for us, sitting down is considered leaning. And so as long as you're sitting down, that creates a definition of kivios, that everyone is set at the table and they're all together. And so if you're sitting down together, then one person can make a bracha and be motzi someone else. That's the argument. Their arguments probably should necessarily sometimes stand for those things. But for those who sit for Kiddush and for Havdalah, it's based on that idea that if you're going to be motzi other people, you want everyone to be sitting down in order to create that kivios that you're all really eating together. But that does come up practically for everyone. is by hamotzi. By hamotzi, you have one person making hamotzi, and he's trying to be motzi. He's trying to exempt everybody else, and they're not going to make their own hamotzi. You have one person making hamotzi for everyone. And so ideally, you should be sitting down. Everyone should be sitting down. Usually you have the stragglers. You have the guys who washed last, and they're taking the time. They're also bringing the dips and the other things and the honey. Now, they're bringing the other things for the hamotzi, and so they're still walking in as you're making the hamotzi. So it's preferable that everyone should be sitting. You should wait. If you're the person making hamotzi, you should wait till everyone is really sitting down. And then the day, Mishnah Berurah says, b'di'eved, they're still yotzei with your bracha. But ideally speaking, lechatchila, it's not the biggest deal to wait for everyone to sit down at the meal so you have a real kavios before you're going to be motzi someone else with your hamotzi, before you exempt someone else with the bracha of hamotzi by your bracha. That's what we said over here, that if you're sitting, one person makes, everyone makes their own brachos, but if you're leaning, if you have a kvias, then one person is going to be motzi everybody else. Okay, mem beis amid beis.
In the case of yayin, do the bottles have to be on the table, or at least within eye shot? And
for what?
To be pater, yayin, the yayin lefnei mazon, for the yayin achrei mazon. If you bring a different kind of wine, a different bottle, that's people are maki.
Right, so we're about to see in the Gemara, it's a matter of if you know it's coming or if you don't know, even in the back of your mind, if you know it's coming. Yeah. We'll talk about it. It depends on the scenario. But yeah, if you bring in new wine, that's a separate halacha about making a special bracha, Yatova Meita, when you bring in a new wine.
Right.
But yeah, that's the assumed order of events. You know that you're going to have more wine later. That's when the first bracha is going to count for the later wine. Now, that's going to be the first topic of the Gemara in a few lines. Mishnah continues, Balahem Yayin Besoch Hamazon Kol Echad Ve'echad Mevarech La'atmo. If you have wine in the middle of the meal, then everyone should make their own individual brachos on themselves personally. But Achar Hamazon Echad Mevarech La'kulan, the wine at the end of the meal, that's when you can have one person be motzi everyone else. That's going to be the topic of next week's daf about why that's true, that if it's wine during the meal, everyone makes their own personal bracha, but after the meal, one person can be motzi other people. And Mishnah concludes, Vehu Omer Al Hamogmar, and that person who makes the bracha on the wine at the end of the meal. You have one guy who's making a bracha on wine in their times, and he's going to be motzi everyone else. He should also make a bracha on the mugmar. The mugmar is like a spice that they would smell. That was like they make a bereyatzi to samim on the spice that they would have, and they would have one person be motzi everybody else. The same guy who made the hagafen for everyone to motzi everybody, it was also the same person who would make the atzi besamim for everybody else. Even though the mugmar is only brought towards the end of the meal, right after you've already benched, it's like a separate thing, but still there's a hakpada of having the same person who led the bar pi gafen should also lead the bracha on the mugmar. But that's going to be the topic of next week's daf as well. So the Gemara. So Gemara starts off talking about the first halacha, as we just brought up, about how you make a bracha on wine at the beginning of the meal, you make a bracha on the appetizer wine, that's going to count for the dessert wine as well. So Amar Rabba, Bar Rav Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, when does this apply? Lo shanu ela b'shabasos, b'mim tovim, only on Shabbos and Yantif, holo v'adam koveya se'udaso al hayayin. Because then, it's typical to bring wine during the meal. That was something that they would usually do during Shabbos and Yantif. You'd always have wine as part of the meal. And therefore, you know it's going to come, and therefore the bracha from the beginning of the meal is going to count for the rest of the meal as well, for the wine that comes. But during a regular day of the year where you don't know more wine is going to come, then you have to make a bracha on each wine, each cup as it comes out, because it's something that you didn't have in mind initially. As we said, only Shabbos and Yantif, and also or if someone just recently left the bath house, or if they recently experienced bloodletting, then apparently after those things, it was good to have some wine to strengthen yourself. So in those cases also, you know more wine is going to come, and that's why the bracha on wine at the beginning on the appetizer wine is going to count for wine that comes later, because you know that you're going to have more wine later on. But a different day of the year, when you don't know you're going to have more wine, close to coast, you make a bracha on each cup as it comes out, because you had no idea you're going to even have more wine in the first place. Rabbi Bar Mari ikla lebe Rava bechol. Rabbi Bar Mari visited Rava's house, and it was a regular day of the week. And Chazed de Barich lefnei Hamazon, v'hadar Barich la'achar Hamazon. And he saw that appropriately. He made a bracha on the wine, as that was the appetizer wine, and he also made a second bracha on the wine that came later for dessert. And that was exactly appropriate because it was during the week. It wasn't Shabbos or Yontif. He wasn't bloodletting earlier that day. So that's why it makes sense to make a new bracha. And therefore, he said, Amar Lei Yasher Yasher Koach v'chein Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. That's exactly what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, that only on Shabbos and Yontif does the bracha on the early wine count for the later wine, but during a regular day of the week, that you would make a bracha on each coast as it comes out. Also, the opposite story. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef iklala ve'abaye beyantif and chazed debarich hakol kasa v'kasa. Wait a second. Abaye on yantif made a bracha on each cup of wine that came out. Don't we say that you know that you're going to have more wine once it's yantif because you're kaveya seuda alayayin, you always bring out wine for the meal? Amarle lo savala marla hadir yishub and levi, don't we just pass like yishub and levi? You don't make a bracha on each cup when it's yantif. Amarle nimlach ana. He says, no, I usually don't have wine during the meal, even on yantif. And so for me to have wine, even on yantif, was something I didn't have da'as on, and therefore I make a bracha on each cup as it comes out. So general rule was, if you know you're going to have more wine, that's when we say in our Mishnah that the bracha on the wine in the beginning of the meal is going to count for the wine that comes later in the meal. That's all wine pre-meal at the appetizer and post-meal for the dessert. But ibaylehu ba'lahem yayin besoch hamazon mahu sheyiftor es hayayin shel achar hamazon. Let's say you got wine during the meal. So you didn't have wine as an appetizer. You have wine during the meal. Can that mid-meal wine count for the dessert wine you're going to have at the end? You'll say, we just saw in our Mishnah, if appetizer wine, bracha, can count for the dessert wine, bracha, maybe that's because mishum dezel lishtos, dezel lishtos. Both of those wines serve the same function, they're for you to drink and to enjoy as an appetizer, or as a dessert. Aval hacha. But here, when you want to have the wine from during the meal to count for the wine after the meal, dezel lishtos, dezel lishros. The dessert wine is for drinking to enjoy, but the meal wine is lishros, to help you digest the food during the meal. It's serving a different purpose, so maybe low. The bracha on one should not exempt the other. Oh, del maloshna, or maybe it doesn't make a difference, and even on the wine during the suda can count for the wine at the end of the suda. So machlokes. Rav amar poter, Rav Kana amar eno poter. Rav Nachman amar poter, Rav Shizaz amar eno poter. Different opinions whether it is going to exempt the wine at the end of the meal, or whether the wine in the middle of the meal is not going to exempt the wine from the end of the meal. And Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Vechol Tamidei Derav, Amri Eino Poter, they all say that this wine, Besoch HaMazon, the bracha is not going to exempt the wine that comes later in the meal because they serve different functions. The Besoch HaMazon is for digestion, and the wine at the dessert is for because you enjoy the taste. Eisvei, the Gemara asks, Rav Alei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman had said, Poter, that the wine Besoch HaMazon exempts the wine La'achar HaMazon. Rav asks a question on this from our Mishnah. Balahem Yayin Besoch HaMazon, Kol Echad Ve'echad Avarech La'atzmo, and La'achar HaMazon, Echem Avarech La'kulam. So it's teaching about how the wine during the meal, everyone makes their own personal bracha, and after the meal, one person is motzi everybody else. But it seems to define a scenario where you have wine during the meal, and you have wine at the end of the meal, and still you make a bracha on each one. We see against Rav Nachman that it's not poter, and you make a bracha when you have wine besoch hamazon, that's not going to count for the dessert wine, and you have to make a new bracha on the dessert wine. So Amar Leir Hachi Kamar, he responds, this is what the Mishnah meant. Im lo balahem yayin besoch hamazon, alala ach Amazon, then Echem Avarech Lekulam. It was talking about two unique scenarios. So number one, if you have wine during the meal, everyone makes their own personal bracha. But if you didn't have that, but instead you had wine at the end of the meal, that's when you're going to have one person exempt everybody else. So there's no question on Rav Nachman, but so we have two different opinions over here. But if you have wine during the meal, is that going to exempt the wine that comes at the end of the meal? Mer continues from the two dots, Birich ala pas, potres aparperes, ala parperes, lo potres apas, and beshamai omrim, aflo maise kedera. So our Mishnah is going to try to clarify the shita of beshamai. So we had two statements in our Mishnah. Statement number one is that the pas, the bracha on the bread, is going to exempt other foods. That's something that we are familiar with, that the bracha on bread exempts the other meal foods you're going to have during the meal. And number two, the second statement of the Mishnah, is that the bracha on the parperes does not exempt the bread. The bracha on the meal foods are not going to exempt the bread. You're going to have to wash for the bread separately. And then Beis Shammai says, Aflo my sikadera. So what exactly is Beis Shammai going on? So Gemara is going to try to understand. Ebayelehu, Beis Shammai aresha pligi o dilma asefa pligi. Is it Beis Shammai clarifying statement number one about the bread exemption, or is it statement number two about the parperes? So maybe it's statement, maybe it's going on the resha, right? Dikam artanakama birich ala pas potras aparperes vekol shekein maise kedera. The Tanakama was saying that the bracha, talking about the bracha on bread. The bracha from the bread exempts the other foods, and of course it also exempts maise kedera, other cooked dishes. And Beis Shammai comes to say, basi Beis Shammai lemeimar omi boi parperes de lo patra lehu pas ela afilu maise kedera nami lo patra. Beis Shammai is coming to limit the power of bread. That bread is not going to exempt other foods or or even Maisa Kedera. So maybe Shammai is limiting the power of bread to exempt other foods that not even Maisa Kedera. Oh, Dilma Seifa Pligi, or he's going on the Seifa. Diktani Berech Ala Parperes, Lo Potter as a pas. That the Mishnah had said in statement number 2, that the bracha and the meal foods and the parperes are not going to exempt the bread, and pas hudalo potar ava maisa kedera potar, but the parperes can count as a bracha for the other cooked dish, the maisa kedera, and then the Beshamai comes, but the Beshamai lememar, ba filo maisa kedera, nami lo potar, that the bracha and the parperes is not going to exempt the maisa kedera. So the Gemara says, teku, it's not clear. Is Beshamai limiting the power of bread, that even bread is not going to exempt anything, even maisa kedera? Or is he limiting the power of the bracha on the parperes, on the meal-type food, that meal-type food is not going to count as a bracha for the Maisa Kedera? So it's unclear. The Gemara says, Teku, we'll have to wait until Mashiach to get the answer to that one. The Gemara now continues the last piece for today. From the two dots again, and on 8 lines up from the bottom, Hayu Yoshvin Kol Echad Ve'Echad. As we had said, if you're sitting together casually, then you can't have one person make a bracha for everybody, but Hesevu, if they're leaning, then you can have one person make a bracha, and it's going to count for everybody else. So Hesevu in, Lo Hesevu Lo, the Gemara asks, is that true? You have to really be leaning, and if you're not leaning, you can't have one guy make the bracha for the whole Chabura people leaning together? Ve'Minu, Ayvestira, it says in the Tosefta, Asara Shahayu You have 10 guys walking together, and they're all eating from their own loaves, but still, they're going to make their own brachos, but if they're sitting, then even though they're all eating from their own loaves, they're just sitting, and still one person can lead and make the hamotzi and be motzi everybody else. And it says, Katani Yeshvu, Afal Pisha Lo Hesebu. They don't have to be leaning, according to this Tosefta. As long as they sat together, that was considered a kfiyas, that they're able to have one person be motzi, everybody else. But our Mishnah says, you have to be leaning. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Kegon De Amri, Nezel Venechol Lachma Bedoch Palan. It's when they said, let's go and eat our bread in that particular location, in that place, Makom Ploni. When you say that creates the kvias. So our Mishnah says to have one person be motzi everybody else, you have to have a kvias. You have to be set together. Everyone has to be sitting together in the same group. Our Mishnah defined that as heseba, as leaning together was the way that they would have a kvias. But the Gemara now clarifies, even if you don't lean, if you're just going to sit together, as long as you designated, we said, hey, let's go all eat together in the park, that's going to create a kvias, and you can have one person be motzi everybody else. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Now, as a story about this, when Rav was nifter, Azlu Tamida Basrei, his Tamidim went to the Levaya, and Kihadri, Amri Nezil Venechol Lachma Anahar Dank. They said, after the Levaya, they said, let's go have lunch, let's go eat by Nahar Dank, by this particular river. Butter the krachi yasvi v'kamei bayelahu hesebu dafkatnan aval yashvu lo odilma kevin da amin ezel v'nechol rifta baduchta palanisa ki hesebu dami. They asked this exact question. Rav was just nifter. Their posek is gone, and they have this shaila. We didn't lean together, but we said let's go eat in that particular spot. Does that create a kvias for one person can be motzi everybody else? And lo have a beyadayu. They didn't know. They didn't know the answer to the shaila, and they were very sad they didn't have their posik anymore to ask the question. So Kam Rav Ada Bar Ava, right now in Mamil Alamad Aleph, the Rav Ada Bar Ava came and a hadar krai la achore the kara kriya achrina. They had already torn kriya once for the Rebbe Mavak Rav at the Levaya, and so now he turned his beged around and tore a second kriya because he was It was a veilus, the loss of their Rebbe, that they didn't have the answer to this shaila. Amar nach nafshe derav, uberchas mezona lo gamrinan. Our posik, Rav, passed away, and we didn't even learn the halachos, uberchas amazon, appropriately, that we're left with this shaila. And they were so upset, they didn't know the halacha, but whether one person can emotzi everybody else. Ada asa ha'usaba, until this person came. And rama lehu masnifse na braisa, he brought this steer between our Mishnah, which says you have to lean, and the braisa, which says you don't have to lean, and he gave the answer, vashani even if you don't lean, as long as you say, you verbalize, you designate this spot is going to be where you're all going to eat together, that's considered a kvias, and you can have one person be motzi everybody else. Spoke about a lot today. A large bulk was about pasta baba kisnin. Spoke about pizza and mazonos rolls and matzah and sweet challahs. We spoke about at what point is the meal over that you have to just bench right away. After my machun, we should bench after right away. Take up until sedayim bracha. We had the Mishnah, all these different dinim. about the appetizer wine exempting the dessert wine. The shaila of whether the wine during the meal can exempt the wine towards the end of the meal. We clarified the explanation of the shita of Beishamai, and the M, we explained how even if you don't lean together, just saying we're going to go and eat in that particular spot creates a kfius, and in that situation, one person can be motzi, everybody else, and the bracha. Yashikach.